Marketing is a battlefield. Trends shift, strategies evolve, and only the bold stay ahead.
So, how do you cut through the noise and make an impact?
Welcome to the Marketing Pulse podcast, where we decode marketing one powerful conversation at a time.
Hosted by Mukwemba Mangangu, Tukia Tambatamba, and me, Grace Gondwe, we bring you insights, strategies, and real talk on what's shaping the industry.
Ready? Let's get into it. Good morning, Grace. How are you?
Good morning, Mukwemba. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Of course, you're always well.
How are you doing?
Good morning, guy. How are you?
Is there a morning when you're not well?
Joy comes in the morning.
How am I? Thank you. Yes, thank you for reminding us.
But morning can also be 11, then have to be 7 hours. Joy can come at 11 hours.
The 11 is still morning.
11 is still morning.
How is you?
No, it is well. You guys left me. I was alone here last time.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, but you did well.
No, I did fantastic.
Relax.
I mean, you really did a good job.
Yeah. No,
especially that it was a very difficult subject.
Yes,
matter and yeah, you did a good job. We're proud of you.
Thank you so much.
And I are proud of you.
No, all this to say, I actually missed you guys. So it feels like it's been a while since I sat with you guys in the studio. Just one episode. And it's already like, it's like guys.
Yeah.
But no, we are so happy to be back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And today we have an amazing guest. We're going to have an amazing conversation. Mm-hmm. And we hope it will be as enlightening for you as it will be for us here in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So without further ado, we'll go straight into the introduction of our guest.
Please do the honors.
So with over a decade of experience advancing purpose-driven change, she has been the forefront of promoting gender equality, youth empowerment, and access to quality health services. Her work is rooted in the power of storytelling to challenge norms, the use of innovative marketing to amplify impact, and the cultivation of strategic partnerships to sustain progress. As the co-founder and deputy CEO of Copa Rose Zambia, one of the largest youth-led organizations in the country, she continues to champion transformative solutions for underserved communities. This remarkable journey of leadership and impact belongs to the none other than Faith Kauma Kabeleka.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Faith.
Hi, Faith.
Were you wondering who he was talking about?
Yeah, for a second there, I was like, is that me?
Yeah, that's what all the guests say. That's why we give him.
I think he does a good job. I think it's just like the tone of voice and like the selection of the words.
Yes.
Because I don't think I would even say that about myself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No, we're happy to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Excited to be here. It's nice to be on this side of the mic.
Yes. Yeah.
From
yes.
being like a listener to now being the what?
She listens.
No, we're happy to finally have you. We know we've been pushing this back. Actually, just to close, I think it was last season. We are back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now, even before we get into our actual conversation, I want us to get a glimpse into who Faith is. All right. And I have three, what I'd like to call evolution questions. Okay. So it's a three-part question. The first being, what did it look like for you in the beginning? Okay. You go as far as beginning feels like beginning begins for you. Mm-hmm. And what was the point of realization in your journey? And finally, from that point, how did you get to where you are now?
Wow. Such a loaded question for a first question. But I think I would say beginning for me should have been high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's like pupil leadership, student leadership. Mm-hmm. I was part of, you know, pupil leadership. I was the head girl at my school.
Oh, nice.
And I realized quickly that teachers were looking up to me to lead others. Mm-hmm. And I think at the time, I didn't take it seriously to the point that it was a huge responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I took it, the seriousness I gave it was more like these people are waiting for me mm-hmm. to, you know, direct them and, you know, lead them, influence them. Mm-hmm. And the teachers are looking up to me mm-hmm. as the person who can do it. Mm-hmm. So I quickly realized that I had this huge responsibility in the way I, you know, things like how I looked, how mm-hmm. I acted, mm-hmm. what I said, mm-hmm. How I punished, mm-hmm. because punishing at the time was a very thing. Mm-hmm. So from then I realized that, okay, so leadership is I mean, everybody can be a leader, mm-hmm. but good leaders, I feel, in my opinion, I think good leaders are made. Mm-hmm. And realizing in that moment that I had this responsibility over what, almost 5,000 pupils in the school mm-hmm. made me instantly know that I needed to, there's certain things that I needed to work on mm-hmm. to be able to inspire that leadership that the teachers were looking to me to do for mm-hmm. the rest of the school. Okay. I was at an all-girls school also, so the pressure was high.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to jump in there, do you think in your experience that your home environment contributed to that? Because like in my personal experience, yes, that there's that like beginning point in school. Mm-hmm. And I think in my experience also looking back, there was a sort of push from, especially my parents, you are a leader, you are called to leadership, you need to behave a certain way. Mm-hmm. Do you think that like played a role for you?
Absolutely. So my dad only has one boy. Mm-hmm. So I only have one brother mm-hmm. and 5 sisters. So there's 6 girls and 1 boy. Nice. And my dad, he never ever treated me like, well, first of all, there's 7 of us and we're all pretty much from like different generations. Mm-hmm. Just to give you context, the age gap between me and the firstborn is about 20 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So really different mm-hmm. parents. Yeah. Yeah. To some extent, I feel like we were raised by the grandparents' version of my parents. But my dad was very, very, well, both my parents, they were very, very intentional about making us do things that the rest of the world sees as like, you know, gender centric or like you can't change a bulb because you're mm-hmm. a girl. You can't, mm-hmm. you know, climb a ladder. You can't, you mm-hmm. know, fix the tap and things like that. Mm-hmm. But he was very, very deliberate about making us know how to do these things, making us know, like teaching us survival skills, really, mm-hmm. because I think whereas other people consider cooking as, you know, tasks for girls mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and watering the garden as tasks for boys, mm-hmm. yeah. my parents saw both tasks as tasks which needed to be done. Mm-hmm. Yes. And they need to be done by whoever who is around and available.
Yes. You have to take responsibility.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So being the last born also was, I had so many examples. Look mm-hmm. at your sister. Look mm-hmm. at this, what she's done. So I think inevitably I was put in an environment where I grew up in an environment where I had so much love mm-hmm. and very high expectations from my siblings mm-hmm. and from my parents. Mm-hmm. So I would say, inevitably that pretty much pushed me to you know, like snap into reality and realize, okay, we're going forward and this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Also like learning how to be a bit more analytical and assertive mm-hmm. came from growing up in such an environment. Yeah. So I'd say that would be the beginning part. Mm-hmm. And then it's a 3-part question.
Yes. So the second question was the point of realization, your turning point.
Mm. I would say, therein, I would say, was the turning point. Like when you realize that you have all this responsibility and people are expecting all these things from you and you are just, 15, 16, mm-hmm. You know, peak adolescence, you know, everybody's trying out new things, going to all these places, but you have to stay grounded because you have this responsibility. Mm-hmm. I would say that in itself was the turning point. I went on to university at CBU and at CBU. CBU. Congrats to the graduates. I went there and I remember, should have been in my final year, one of my good friends, Precious Gozwa, shout out Precious. Mm. I know Grace knows her. I guess a lot of people, you guys know her. Yeah. we used to call ourselves managers. Mm-hmm. And we used to have this every Monday. Every Monday we'd dress up as managers and we'd be like Managers Monday. It was like hashtag Managers Monday.
I remember that.
You remember that, right?
On Instagram, I think.
Yes, posts about Managers Monday. So we used to say it lightly, like, managers, like, you know, we'll be managers. But I think even just being able to say things like that, mm-hmm. and hope that you will be leading people, leading mm-hmm. teams, people mm-hmm. will be looking up to you mm-hmm. for direction, for strategy, mm-hmm. for communication and things like that. Mm-hmm. I would say that that was like, I guess, like a defining moment. Mm-hmm. It also made me realize in that point that I needed to harness the skills I had, mm-hmm. the intrinsic skills I had, mm-hmm. but also be very deliberate about seeking more knowledge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that being like at the end of my my undergrad degree was symbolic because I knew that now I need to step into this leadership, this manager mm-hmm. I keep referring to, mm-hmm. like who I am or who mm-hmm. I want to be. Mm-hmm. So I'd say, yeah, that was like the spark. Mm-hmm. But then I asked myself, how am I going to do this? Yeah. and at the time, Copper Rose, my sister and I had already started Copper Rose. That was should have been like our first year. Mm-hmm. We were doing a few campaigns at school, university campus, etc. And yeah, I mean, I didn't really associate the success of the organization to what it is today mm-hmm. at that time. To me, you know, I guess leaning into some of these skills and mm-hmm. some of these things that I imagined for myself. So I would say, yes, in that moment, I was just like, yeah, let's do this. I'm going to, you know, be a manager. I'm going to oversee things and, you know, provide strategy, direction, etc. But then when I look back now, 10 years later and about what, almost 12 years from that, well, 10 years, exactly 10 years later, mm-hmm. I'm glad that I did lean in mm-hmm. because I don't think I would have been here yeah. had I not harnessed those skills, the mm-hmm. things, you know, people were telling me, mm-hmm. the responsibility that was placed on me mm-hmm. That early mm-hmm. to then now being able to run Copper Rose for what it is today. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Oh, I hope wow, that wow. answers your question.
No, that answers that pretty well much answers the question. You know what? Please, I hope we don't take a complete detour from what we're supposed to what we're supposed to be talking about, but I can't let this go mm-hmm. right now. You know, as a believer, there's something you said when you started talking about manager's Monday. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's what is referred to as the affirmation process. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we'll have this conversation maybe different in a different, maybe say branding episode.
Yeah.
But yes, but the point at which you decided, you know what, I'm going to call myself a manager. Mm-hmm. Okay, and as time went on,
mm-hmm. you began to become that.
Exactly.
Know what, to some degree, all of us probably have a story like that.
Yes.
In fourth year, I started calling myself the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
You remember
yes,
that?
I remember.
You still my Instagram. Shameless Instagram. And I told myself, like, whatever happens, whatever comes, like, I will, yes. insurmountable challenges, I you will surmount, mm-hmm. right? Because yes. I'm the fourth.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all of you guys have, like, one day I said, it's going to work.
Yes.
And maybe we haven't grown up to the point of, like, but the beginnings of it are beginning to, you know, to show.
To show.
Sorry.
Finish. Yes. Yeah. So with that, right, the same way you've mentioned how the force and everything is leading up to that. Mm. So the way it starts is you start with affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is where it's very important. And that's why some people decide, how do I start my day? What do I say to myself mm-hmm. at the beginning? And mm-hmm. where people deliberately decide, I won't listen to this, I won't listen to that. Whatever I'll listen to is something that's going to build me up.
Yeah.
So what do you say to yourself? So do you wake up every morning and say, I'm the manager, mm-hmm. I'm the manager. You mm-hmm. know you're not the manager. Maybe yes. you're not very close to the manager,
yeah.
but you start. But you
feel like an intern somewhere.
Yes, exactly. I'm the manager. And before you know it, you from affirmation, you move to belief.
Mm-hmm.
You start believing it.
Mm-hmm.
You also start deliberately acting like a manager
yes.
and dressing like a manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you get past belief, we move to what we're now referring to as conviction.
Mm-hmm.
You are convicted.
Convinced, yeah.
Like, no one can come tell you you're not the manager.
Yeah.
You know, as much as yes. you're not the manager, no one is telling you that. And at some point, you get to what is referred to as determination. So these are like the ABCD process.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to that level, like there's no one who's going to, you know, it becomes a philosophy.
Yeah.
You have transcended that level. And I think it's a call to everyone to reach a point where can we look at ourselves in the mirror, call ourselves what we want to be and start walking into that path.
Yeah.
It's a simple process and it does so much for you.
Yes,
it does. Amazing. Thank you for sharing the marketing pulse, teaching you life principles as well as marketing principles.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, I think we can...
We can get into it.
Yeah, we can get into the conversation now. I have a lot of personal interest in today's conversation because I'm the only one here who works in the development space. And today's conversation is about nonprofit marketing. How can we harness the power of marketing, you know, marketing principles to bring success to social ventures, you know, change and impact focused ventures. And I'm sure some of you are wondering like, but marketing for a nonprofit or an NGO, is that really, a thing? So this conversation is about to lean into that and just highlight that for you. And this is very, very important for me because, I come from the marketing background. I did a bit of traditional marketing work, but now I work in the nonprofit space. And over the last few years, like Mukwemba was asking the conversation about the realization, it's been a few years of realizing like, oh, it's actually not that different. You know, the same principles apply. Even from a management perspective, when you talk about strategic leadership and management, it's the same principles. So that's the conversation we're about to dive in today. So because we're going now into the marketing conversation, a mandatory question that we ask our guests is, how do you define marketing?
Okay, so in my own words, marketing is really just about connecting people to purpose, whether it's products, which are, you know, purposeful for people or services. Marketing is that gap that bridges the people to that purpose. In the nonprofit space, I would define it simply as storytelling. Being able to tell your story, connect your mission to the people who it's meant to move. So if your mission is about randomly thinking, providing water to communities that don't have access to clean water, it's going to move, your mission is going to move the people who need this water or care about this water or care about people having clean water. So in that sense, I would say, yeah, it's storytelling in its own right.
100%. And storytelling from both sides is that communication piece to the people who need the service, that you are the best service provider and you are the one who can, you know, bring that access for them, but also giving us access to the people who are passionate about that cause so that they feel connected to this cause and so that they feel connected to you as the person who can help them meet this cause or achieve this cause.
So there's also like this concept that exists. I think it works very well, like in your space, exactly, right? Because in as much as you have what we were terming as your purpose, the things you're trying to achieve, there's also a high level of how do we then partner with people who come in and also like, so you have your donor fans and people who come in, you know, bring their resources to help help your cause. So there's an aspect of, there's a shared need that exists, okay? So that even when you present it, and maybe going back to aspect of storytelling, how do you propose the story in a way that you ensure that the people that can add value or resources to your project, see that, you know what, this is what we're equally trying to achieve.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
How do we, you know, make sure that
partner with you.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
I was just going to ask, in terms of storytelling, I like what you said about connecting the people. It's very important. Now, in terms of the audience, right, how do you reach your particular audience when it comes to storytelling, and who exactly is your target market besides the beneficiaries of that which you're trying to provide?
Good question. So at Copper Rose, for example, our mission is to build a conducive environment for young people to thrive in all aspects of their lives. And we do this through our three key priority areas, which is gender equity, health and well-being, and youth development and leadership. So our audience in this case, other than the young people we serve and work with, our audience is partners who are interested in working with young people. So other organizations interested in working with young people, other organizations who are interested in funding work done by young people, And other stakeholders also include people who are interested in or work with missions that are similar to ours. Mm-hmm. So in this case, the core of their work is young people. Yeah. Sometimes the core of their work may not even be young people, but it's, you know, some of the thematic areas that we have. So if they're, you know, into health, mm-hmm. and maybe our demographic or the people we work with are within their demographic or their, you know, segmented or age group, mm-hmm. then in this case, we would then be reaching them because we're talking about a topic which is passionate, which they are, yes. passionate about. Mm-hmm. So there are so many different audiences, mm-hmm. at based on the type of communication that, mm-hmm. we are putting out. Mm-hmm. But at the core, it's mostly people who are passionate about young people because, yeah. those are the people who we serve directly.
What is the landscape looking like? There's a lot of shifts that are going on. From the development perspective, there's lots of shifts that are going on. The word that we would use traditionally, mm-hmm. on this podcast is the marketing landscape. But so, I mean, you can speak to broadly the marketing landscape, yeah. for organizations, but also the marketing landscape for nonprofit organizations. What is it looking like having to sell this value? Because really it is, you know, it's selling this value, yeah. that you're creating, mm. and calling for people to come alongside you to support you. What is that looking like these days?
It's looking, I would say it's looking a bit noisy, because we're competing with so many, in this case, for example, there's a lot of content that's going out, mm-hmm. on a lot of social media platforms. Mm-hmm. There are social media platforms that are being formed. It feels like every day, there's a new app. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure you're on top of things, mm-hmm. in terms of where you're communicating, mm-hmm. like, in, you know, who is your audience and where are they? Mm-hmm. Yes. So identifying and being very clear and knowing where to find them, mm-hmm. And knowing where they will be, where they hang out, mm-hmm. is critical. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's looking noisy because on one hand you'd, you know, say LinkedIn, mm-hmm. but some people are now looking to TikTok, especially, yeah. if you're, mm-hmm. talking about young people.
Yeah.
Everybody is going to TikTok, mm-hmm. and you know that you can, you know, send out very critical information, mm. through like a dance and, mm. you know, make it fun and playful. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's noisy and dynamic because it's changing almost every day. Mm-hmm. But those who get the most out of understanding that marketing is about connecting services or connecting people to purpose, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. will know that they need to invest in knowing who their audience is and, mm-hmm. knowing where their audience hangs out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That market segmentation bit is very, very important, mm-hmm. in the marketing space, the traditional marketing space, but also in the nonprofit space. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we can't emphasize enough.
Yeah. And in your space, I know you've mentioned real issues things to do with youth development and gender equality. And I agree, social media is very noisy, right? Mm-hmm. So now how or where do you strike a balance between trying to match like authentic storytelling, mm-hmm. as well as overselling what it is that you do? Mm-hmm. How and where do you strike that type of balance? Because like you've said, there are people that are watching you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do you strike that balance between authentic storytelling as well as maybe overselling what you do, considering these are real issues?
I would say, I mean, authenticity is about, you know, being you and, yeah. bringing yourself raw. And some of the things that have worked for us recently is just being able to be real.
Yeah.
Being able to have and capture moments that are happening in real time. So whether it's an activity in like an outreach activity in the community or a peer educator who's part of, we have a so one of our thriving programs at the moment is called the Campus Core Fellowship,
mm-hmm.
where we work with university students, mm-hmm. build their leadership skills and engage them in civic activities, community, mm-hmm. activities,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately this leads to transformative leadership and growth, mm-hmm. in them understanding their connection between what they do and the community and also, mm-hmm. growing their leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
So for a program like that, you would then be capturing this person, mm-hmm. at the beginning of the program,
yes.
midway of the program, mm-hmm. and at the end of the program,
mm-hmm.
and seeing how even themselves are able to articulate themselves much better.
Mm.
They're able to talk about issues, mm-hmm. which matter to them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them even go on to start their own initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
oh, really?
Yes, mm-hmm. or, you know, land these jobs that they only dreamt about, because during the program they were able to polish up their skills, yeah, their interpersonal skills, mm-hmm, work on things like their CV, etc. So how we cut through the noise is, yeah, just being authentic, being real. Secondly, capturing stories in real time, mm-hmm, and having real people share their, yeah, journey. Thirdly, also, instead of working, I know that companies work with, like, you know, influencers, yes, etc.
Yes.
Working with people who are actually passionate about the work that we do. Mm. They see our cause, they see our mission, mm-hmm, as something that's like a passion project to them as, mm-hmm, well. So, mm-hmm, you know, similarities in mission and alignment in values, mm-hmm, as well.
Yeah. No, I like that you mentioned that about influencers, mm-hmm, and I think for different companies how it's addressed is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we deal with influencers, there's something you mentioned, and I think one of the most powerful tools you can have is, I mean, you just don't go out to any influencer, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when the influencer is moved by what you're doing, yes, and then you use them now for the very cause you need, you know, to achieve, or the, yes, goal you need to reach, I think that that type of power is different altogether.
Yes.
And if you're able to harness that and you bring people to you, then transform them to use them for what you need them to do, perfect. I think,
yeah,
you hit the target.
Yeah.
Yeah. The alignment in
yeah,
values.
Absolutely love it. I think testimonials would always beat influencers, especially when you're talking about real issues. Just on, I also like the answer that you gave. On a personal note, how fulfilling is that? I could see the expression on your face when you talk about
wish me some video.
I know. I could feel it. Like someone's journey from the beginning, midway, and then they finally give like their final testimony of what,
yes,
they've done. How does that make you feel?
You know what? It's a feeling that I can't really describe in words, because it takes me back to why we started Copper Rose in the first place. Yeah. And at the time, my co-founder Natasha and I, we only just wanted to make a difference in the community that we knew, that was closest to us.
Yeah.
But inevitably, a lot of people's lives were being transformed. And it's not just, you would think it's just like, you know, a beneficiary or somebody directly tied to a project. But even people like our staff who,
yeah,
would, you know, as they're exiting, they would come to you and say, look, I wouldn't have been able to achieve this, this,
mm-hmm,
and this,
mm-hmm,
had I not worked in this organization. I wouldn't,
mm-hmm,
have been able to participate in things like a global conference,
mm-hmm,
travel and participate and represent the organization in such a space.
Mm-hmm.
Because at Copper Rose, when you get into, we like saying this, when you walk through our doors,
mm-hmm,
you like, we make you multiply,
mm-hmm,
in, you know,
mm-hmm,
in yourself, in,
mm-hmm,
your career.
Nice.
So if you didn't have a master's, you'll get a master's,
yes,
degree. If you are not married, you'll,
yes,
get married. If you didn't have babies, you have,
yeah,
babies.
Have babies, yeah.
So things like that. So,
mm-hmm,
we call ourselves, like, we have this vibe that just makes you want to multiply yourself,
mm-hmm,
even as somebody who's coming in through our doors as a peer educator,
mm-hmm,
as a beneficial on a project,
mm-hmm,
they would that vibe catches them,
yeah,
and they would be able to, you know, this person came in on the first day of the training and, you know, they're a bit timid, they're,
mm-hmm,
you know, closed up,
mm-hmm,
they can barely say their name,
mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, that's the most that they can say.
Yeah.
But then now they're able to, you know, even debate,
mm-hmm,
issues. They're able to talk about how they feel and what they think is right.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to, you know, speak confidently.
Yeah.
So I think it's from being, I guess, being a younger organization,
mm-hmm,
being, I would say, maybe even like first of our kind,
mm-hmm,
that there are a lot of young people within our space,
mm-hmm,
that it kind of rubs off, it,
mm-hmm,
rubs off you.
Yeah.
And for me, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Can I just say,
yeah,
can I just jump in here? One, and a very important thing that I would like people listening to take away is, you can only, let me not say you can only, maybe in your work you can get it,
mm-hmm,
but there's a fulfillment that,
mm,
social,
yes,
impact gives,
yes,
you,
yes,
that very few other things can give you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I just want to take this opportunity to encourage you to get involved with a social cause.
Yeah.
You know, wherever in your community, whatever is happening, mm-hmm. what really, you know, nonprofits are doing is creating opportunities for people to get involved with these social causes. Mm-hmm. And it will give you a sense of fulfillment that nothing else can give you. So please identify a cause and identify that organization that is in that cause and allow them to sell this to you yeah. and buy. Please buy what and these buy. Causes are selling. Yes.
Yeah.
Please buy what these causes are selling, because the impact that you will make, the value that you'll get out of what these people are marketing is beyond.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if Tukia relates to this aspect as well, mm-hmm. because you can even tell him smiling, wanting to get the information from it as well.
Driving the conversation.
I just asked you. Yeah. So I was thinking about it, right? Because lecturing, for instance, like, it's not one of those money grab type of gigs.
Yeah.
Okay. But for some reason,
you have stuck it out.
Every time I go lecture and I leave, like when I might go there feeling tired. Yeah. Like by the time I'm leaving, like I'm energized.
Yeah.
I feel like it was great.
Yeah.
Then at the end of the semester, maybe some students, you know, not everyone, some will be like, "No, sir, you were amazing. You really changed my life." Yes. You know, something like that. It's just like, really?
Wow. Yeah.
And the thing is, they'll always remember you. And you know, it's like, to you, it's like you're going, you are on the other side of it. So to it's like, this is, I need to do this. This is the work that I need to do. But for them, you are that turning point.
Yes.
You know, you are that inflection point that can change how they view their work, how they view the world. And it's really, really amazing. That's why Tukia still goes, even when he's tired. Even when he's complaining about being tired.
He's still going. It's very fulfilling, like you said. I think from even a marketing point of view, we had that lecturer that was I always forget her name. We call her Mrs. Marketing.
In second year.
Yes, in second year.
I don't remember her name, but she was, I think, working at Zamtel at the time.
She's with NAPSA.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Yes, okay. Mrs. Felicia Munkanta.
Ah, yes. That is the woman who made me decide to be a marketer.
There we go.
Yeah, she was the one who made me decide.
There we go.
Yeah, she made BS260. Yeah, I should find her on LinkedIn.
Yeah, we can get back on track.
Yes, we can.
So, Faith, in your opinion, what are the top three marketing trends you think nonprofits and businesses should be paying close attention to?
So, top three, I would say, which I've already said before, storytelling with authenticity, being able to have real stories shared, capturing real moments in real time, if possible. And also just being able to, you know, people are more drawn to reality, especially now with the age of AI.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I can tell a ChatGPT response from a non-ChatGPT response.
The M dash always.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. So, yeah, I think just being able to tell, you know, stories authentically and being, you know, more human-centered than AI-centered.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, purpose-driven branding.
Mm.
I would say you talked about people being drawn to things that align with them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think for the audience we serve at Copper Rose, we serve Gen Zs.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we have realized is that Gen Zs are drawn to things or missions that align with their values.
Mm-hmm.
Personally.
Mm-hmm.
So if your mission aligns with them, they will draw closer to you and they will, you know, interact with your content and with your brand and things like that. So just being ensuring that your branding is purpose driven.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, influencer and community marketing. So it's the whole concept of, yes, I'm not saying don't work with influencers. Mm-hmm. Influencers are what's making this content creation generation more active and useful. Whereas before, when you're using traditional media, you would just be, you know, paying for an advert on TV to come 3 times a week or in primetime adverts and things like that, and your charge premiums.
No one's really paying attention.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But now when they're influencers, working with influencers who align with your mission directly and having strong community ties. So having communities that can be able to identify your brand and back your brand up, I think think that cannot be overemphasized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because for a community to be able to identify your logo, associate your logo with activities they've seen, mm-hmm. associate your activities with things that, you know, is driving their community, mm-hmm. or that they resonate with, mm-hmm. I think that's easily free marketing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you as Copa Rose could only use one of these.
Which one would you pick?
And while you're at it, maybe you can share with us, you know, a recent campaign or initiative that you feel just like made it work.
That's a hard one.
Very, very hard.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We can use, I mean, we could use all of them. We are using all of them. Well, okay, let me say one that comes naturally to me personally.
Yeah.
I would say authentic storytelling.
Yeah.
It's very easy to tell a story because, you know, it's unique.
It's real, it has happened.
It's something that from your perspective, mm-hmm. you can share, yeah. and you can talk about confidently.
Mm-hmm.
And something similar is, yeah, like I had mentioned, the Campus Core Fellowship. So what happened when we were graduating the first cohort was very astounding and humbling at the mm-hmm. same time. So we had these students from different universities on the Copper Belt
mm-hmm.
who participated in this 6-month Campus Core Fellowship program. So they were engaged in leadership transformation. They were also doing community engagement activities, and they were also enhancing their economic enhancing their ability to get economic opportunities. Mm-hmm. So improving their CVs, improving mm-hmm. their, you know, pitch decks for the
businesses
that they had. Yeah. Yeah. Applying for scholarships, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody at the end, at the graduation is, you know, sharing how this program has impacted their lives.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a video. You can check my LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How it impacted their lives, and they're sharing how they were able to, before had no idea
mm-hmm.
where they would be going in terms mm-hmm. of like their career after mm-hmm. they graduate.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the program, because they understood, you know, the power of being able to talk about yourself more,
mm-hmm.
open up more, like even mm-hmm. being able to share. We used to have like meetings during mm-hmm. the same 6-month period. So in those small discussions, being able to share their perspectives
mm-hmm.
openly without, you know, the fear of judgment,
mm-hmm.
etc., yeah.
mm-hmm.
that they shared that allowed them be able to land their first job within like 3 months of graduating their program.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know that you would all agree with me that,
yes. that
getting
job
your first job
yeah.
is
yeah.
very, very hard. And not internship, but an actual job. So that, you know, authentic storytelling shows that when you tell your story and you share with people what you've been through,
mm-hmm.
you would then be able to, I would say, enhance the brand you're talking about
mm-hmm.
Because of your lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, yeah, that's easily one of my top picks.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Can I jump in? Something that you guys, I think I'm seeing, are intentionally doing on the community building. And maybe you were talking about like communities, like actual physical communities, but I think you're also, you guys on your social media are also doing a good job of building your social media community.
Oh yes.
And I think I've seen that with the logo
competition.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like bringing people in to be part of shaping what this next phase is going to look like, and having people even vote, you know, for what is their preference, for what the logo should look like and so on, is making people feel like they have a sense of ownership.
Yes.
And that will give them a sense of ownership of the brand. And so even if they see it somewhere, they hear a story somewhere, they feel like they have that connection and they're part of it. And that's a really, really powerful way of building community online.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sure in your time, you face a lot of challenges. Yeah. what do you think is one of the biggest challenges nonprofit marketers face in today's landscape?
So in nonprofits, there's no challenge you can mention that doesn't include lack of access to funds. Budget constraints, there's no budget line and things like that. So yeah, I can easily say budget constraints, because the kind of work that we do, you cannot deliberately market it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are very few funders who will allow you to put a budget for things like social media boosting, mm-hmm. or, you know, creating documentaries or things like that. Mm-hmm. So not being able to have dedicated funds to not only ensure that, you know, content is being pushed out, our narrative and our mission and all of those things are being pushed out, but even just time to pay for the people to do that behind the scenes work. Yeah. Grace was alluding to our Sierra Zed 10 logo competition. Yeah. So just being able to even have somebody create the poster of apply, do this,
manage vote.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That, you know, can be a limitation, has been a limitation. But I think over the years, we've been able to advocate for ourselves when we were starting the project to enhance our website. We have a new website. Yes. Check it out. www.copperrose.africa. Mm-hmm. Our new website was done by Bongo Hive. Shout out to Bongo Hive.
Oh, nice.
And a partner of ours recommended that they would, asked us to think about, you know, enhancing our website. Of course, it was in our plans, but what we've been able to, I would say, achieve, I don't know, like get
what
back.
It's come to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just from us having to have launched, I don't even think it's been 6 months since we launched, but just being able to enhance the website we had to what it is now has really, it's, I would say it has built our brand and it's not something that you can really count or, you know, attach value or money. Yes. But it's really, really enhanced our visibility and it's really, really made us, I would say, appear more serious because, you know, like we have, you know, things together and there's a website and traceable information. So even though I would say, like, maybe to encourage other nonprofits or people who work in this space, that's an investment and you shouldn't see it as a cost. You should see it as an investment in your brand and in your visibility. So they may not be budget, but you have to find ways to create that budget line to be able to pay to cover the cost of your communications, your marketing and your branding. Yeah.
And that's what brand is. Brand is, it's an intangible asset, right? It's an intangible asset, that goodwill that you might not be able to necessarily put on your bottom line, but it will open doors for you. It will give you access to people, to resources. And the price is high, but the value is you know, more than often what can be quantified. So having spoken about challenges, is there any, like, one moment that was defining for you as a marketer, like one pivotal moment that you were like, okay, this has shaped how I do things, and I want you to put on your marketing hat, a situation where you had to sell Copper Rose or you had to bring on a partner and so on, that was something that stood out for you.
So this one time, before we got into, I would say, applying for bilateral government funding, we started working on how we tell our story. I think it coincided with the time when we were revising our strategy for the next iteration, the current one we're in. And, you know, you would go into this board meeting or board room with this partner who wants to hear you out. They've seen you making noise on Facebook and so I'll say social media, but they want to see who's behind all of this noise. And, you know, some of our branding colors are pink, cyan, and now we're introducing a bit of blue. So pink is everywhere and they're just thinking it's like this girls club thing, and you're at the end of that table trying to convince them that this is a mission that you're working towards and this is the vision that you have for the organization, and the vision, this vision will impact, you know, X many people. And they tell you, okay, we can work with you, but you just need to reduce on your colors or something. I can't remember the exact comment, but like kind of like telling you, like, tone down on your Facebook posts or something. Yeah. And you're in there, you're sitting there and you're like, but
I mean, that's so many stresses. I've got so many stresses. Yes. And your concern is that my watch is too pink.
Exactly. Also, not just that, the fact that it's too pink is what, or whatever it, what the that's comment what was, is what us, what got us to come here and meet with you. Mm-hmm. So I would say that it was pivotal for me and for us, because we realized that people were seeing us, people were watching us, people were in touch with our brand, and they knew, it's like the person knew what we were about, but they just seemed bothered by by our choice of, you know, branded colors, which I found funny, but in hindsight, that's, I would say, like, that's what made us realize that, okay,
we're in the room.
Yes, we're in the room.
People know.
And luckily, the partnership was successful. So we realized we're in the room. It's not for what we wanted to be in the room for.
But you're in the room.
But we're here. Yes. So, you know, let's make lemonade and let's, you know, think about what we can do better and how we can continue to enhance our brand. But I would say, like, that's really what, I guess, made us realize that, yeah, people were really watching us.
That's interesting. Interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the glass. There's water in the glass. There's water in the glass. Any piece of advice for somebody who's getting into marketing, especially from a nonprofit perspective?
First, I'll say my first piece of advice would be just start. Don't wait for a budget line. Don't wait until you have all the money to make that website. Just start, even through social media platforms which you have access to. Share your story, share your vision, to understand that what you say first is what people will remember about you. I'll give an example. When we started Copper Rose back in 2015, our first campaign was about menstrual health and hygiene. So we were collecting donations on campus to purchase menstrual sanitary products. As an organization, we've grown and evolved from that as an activity. But because people knew us as the Pads Girls.
Especially the CBU community.
Yes, the CBU community knows us as the Pads Girls. It's taken a lot for people to realign or understand who we are and what we do now. And so we're very deliberate about ensuring that even our staff are saying the same thing about Copper Rose everywhere, because marketing is not just about what you post. It's also about, if somebody says, oh, I work at Copper Rose, oh, what do you do? So what Grace says, what Tukia says, and what I say should be the same.
Consistency,
yes. So just ensuring that there's consistency in the way that the brand is communicated. And leaving the external communication, like the serious communications on traditional media, to designated people, just to ensure that there's consistency in what is being said about the organization. And lastly, remember that the world is listening. So be very deliberate about what you say, how you say it, and how you market the organization. And also, don't forget that resource mobilization is also marketing. Grant writing is pitching, and ensuring that what you're talking about the organization and what you're writing are matching, and ensuring that what you want people to know the organization can be put on paper. I would say would be my advice.
I see, very important. How do you separate like your personal posts on what you post on social media from Copper Rose, considering that, like I said, these are real issues. People are watching. People are listening. So if you want to post maybe something fun or something away from that, how do you manage it?
It's fine. I'm laughing because I struggled in the past.
Do you understand stuff?
No, exactly. It's not exactly. Easy. No, because people look at you a certain way. Like you said, meet very important people and you'd be like, oh, okay, no. That's Koparov.
Yes.
This is the one who's shared that meme.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, first of all, ensuring that they're separate platforms for the organization and for myself. I think even going as far as like writing that all views are mine, I mean, it doesn't really carry much water, but just putting it in your bio makes people know that what you say is not associated to the organization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On a personal level, I'll be honest, I have not been very active on social media for that reason. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's also a very good strategy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because I just don't want to confuse the brand. Mm-hmm. I do have my own personal handles on social media, but I'm not as active as I was, I would say, even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because as the organization has been growing, people want to know the people behind the brand.
Mm-hmm.
There's always this, something I've also come to learn about marketing in this space is, there's always this need to want to know the face behind the brand.
Yes.
And I don't know if it also exists in the for-profit world, but there's always this need. So that's the one. Yes. And then this one. And then they have. Mm-hmm. So I try to steer clear of, I guess, sharing my, you know, honest beliefs and, you know, my real life, you know, behind the scenes for that reason. Mm-hmm. Because I think, first of all, I'm naturally a private person.
Mm-hmm.
So I also wouldn't want my private life to be associated with the organization's brand. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very happy to jump on the organization's socials to, I guess, like do an interview or, you know, make a post about Women's Day or, you know, Youth Day, do a video, etc.
Okay.
Something
separating. We've had a lot of conversations about.
Yes.
It's something we've had a lot of conversations about. You want to leverage the power of social media. You want to LinkedIn and, you know, all of that. But it's a very delicate balancing act with brands being what they are, with social media being what it is, because it's like one thing that you said in passing that someone would jump on and then decide that everything else that you've done and worked so hard for doesn't have value anymore. So it is a very, very delicate balancing act. I think something that I respect is how that separation of who you are and what the brand is. Of course, in a lot of ways, people will still associate the two. Mm-hmm. But there are, and it's not wrong, there are people who've built their work around them as a person,
their personal
brand. Even in the nonprofit space. In the nonprofit space, in the for-profit space, people are selling services and products based on them as a brand.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I like how you've made that separation so that the brand can grow on its own and it's not tied to you as a person. I think that helps longevity and builds or contributes to the idea that this is a cause that is bigger than me, that I want to have global impact, and it goes beyond just me as a person.
Yes, I think even just in that line, if people, like she's saying, people are reaching out and saying, we want to see the face behind the brand, to the point where ourselves, I mean, there's lots of people who are like, we want to be able to see your faces.
You guys,
yes. Like, can we watch
when
you on
video? Yes.
When is video coming?
Yes.
No, so that we can.
Oh yes.
You know, attach these voices we hear
to people.
And now it's odd because, like you said, people are listening. I think one time Tukia is like, he was making a business call and he says, hello, I'm Tukia, I'm calling from this company. And they're like, wait, are you Tukia from
the
marketing
podcast? Yeah.
And I was sharing with a group the other day. I'm like, I was in church. Someone came to me, is like, excuse me, are you Mkwemba from the marketing podcast? And I'm thinking, the video tiribi.
It's the voice.
I'm like, so it's very important. It really is. Unfortunately, we are coming to a... Can you imagine
already?
This conversation has to end?
Already.
That's so many questions.
We're just getting longer.
She can come back.
Most definitely.
She can come back.
This conversation has made me start... Kwambo Sabaira, is a way you start thinking, maybe we can have another podcast where we talk about
things like this.
Things like this.
Yeah, we can. You know, we can expand the brand.
Expand the horizon. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So as we close, we have a few questions that would like to get your response from. And the first one being, if you had to pick one Zambian brand, product or service that embodies who we are as a people, what would that be? And just, you know, I was about to say, and you're already looking at the brand right now. I don't know.
Let her answer. Yeah.
A problem.
But why are you coercing me?
No, mind you, go ahead. And I was looking at this one. But
that's what I was thinking about, but I had another one in mind. So, okay, I have two. Can I give two?
Yes, yeah.
So a Zambian brand, of course, I would say Copper Rose Zambia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We are an indigenous indigenous Zambian-owned, grown organization. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We work with young people mm-hmm. in Zambia. Mm-hmm. And we serve other young people in Zambia. Mm. So nothing screams Zambia more than that.
Yeah.
So I think I'll stick to that one.
Good answer.
Very, very, very good answer.
Building Zambians for Zambia.
Yes, with Zambians. Yes, very much so.
Absolutely.
As somebody who's been around, I want to say front row, watching the brand grow, I think it really does. The resilience, the resilience spirit, the growth spirit that I've seen just grow over the years, I think it really does embody that that Zambian spirit. And I'm very, very proud to be associated.
We are grateful for your association.
The next question is, you're a leader, and I know you're a reader, because leaders are readers. Tukia, take that note. So what's one marketing book that's had a big impact on your thinking?
So Donald Miller is an author who writes a lot about marketing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But there's a certain book that he's written that has a focus on nonprofit branding.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's called Building Your Story Brand.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's just mainly like storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that book taught me that your hero in the story, as you know, are storytelling, mm-hmm. is not your organization or your people or your systems.
Mm-hmm.
Your hero is your audience, the people you serve. Mm. And sometimes in branding, especially in nonprofit, we can easily get so focused on our systems have done this, mm-hmm. our project did this,
mm-hmm.
but actually the hero in all of this is the people who you are serving, your audience.
Mm.
So just being deliberate about that can easily enhance your brand.
Nice.
That's a good answer. Mm-hmm. That's a really, really good answer. And I think, you know, before we go to the last one, I said something about this on LinkedIn about storytelling and how sometimes storytelling with nonprofits can be a bit, it doesn't position very well, you know, beneficiaries. And now there's shifts in language, and even the word beneficiaries is becoming a bit icky.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that framing of like, this person that this service is meant to serve is the one who should be the hero at the end of the day. And so we should seek to use empowering language, imagery, and the voice that we use should be to position them as the protagonist in the story. I think that's really, really good. Last, who would you like to hear on the podcast?
Oh, you guys always bring big names. So that's very hard to say. I'm honored to be here, by the way. Did I say that? I'm saying it again. I would say Patricia Luhanga.
Okay.
She's somebody I met recently, but I've heard about for years.
Yeah.
I think she's done a very good job in positioning herself in her career.
Yes.
And she strikes me as a very calculated marketer.
Yes.
As a person.
Yeah.
I would say Patricia Luhanga.
Her branding, her personal branding, even I've followed her on LinkedIn for a couple of years.
Yes.
Is impeccable.
Yes.
I've seen pictures of her at events. It's everything, her hair, the way she dresses, the things that I've seen on video, the way she speaks, that's a brand.
Yes.
That's a really, really good answer.
Now, Look, this thing for just mentioning names.
So this is not
your task is very simple.
I got you. I'll write to her.
Yeah.
Oh, we appreciate that very much. No, so we're humbled, we're grateful. We know you're busy.
Yeah.
You have so many things to do, but you made the time to be here with us today. And in as much as we have learned from you, we believe our audience has greatly been impacted by your story and all you've had to share with us. And for that, we are truly grateful. Yeah. I know you keep saying, no, I'm humbled to be here. No, we are the ones that are humbled, you know, to be in your presence. Yeah. So we hope that our listeners can, you know, pick up on everything we've talked about. So what's also very important is that people can also find you and those that want to partner with you. So if you could just give us, say, your socials or where people can reach you if they want to partner with Copper Rose, how do they do that?
Mm-hmm. Great. So you can reach me on LinkedIn. I'm quick on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
My handle is faiths.kaoma. And then you can reach Copper Rose on all social media platforms, Copper Rose Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
And on X, we are Copper Rose _ZM.
Okay.
But all other channels, it's Copper Rose Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you for joining us. To our listeners, we hope that you got some value from this, especially me who had personal interest in this conversation.
It was a very, very interesting conversation.
Yeah. Maybe I'll take this opportunity to put in a shameless plug. I just finished a series on LinkedIn that is focused on nonprofit marketing. So if this conversation was interesting for you, please go to my LinkedIn. I am Grace Gondwe on there. And you'll find 10 posts worth of resources about nonprofit marketing that will be useful for you. Otherwise, we're coming to a close. Thank you for joining us. And remember
to keep your finger on the marketing pulse.
We hope that you have enjoyed today's episode just as much as we have.
Till next time, remember to keep your finger on the marketing pulse.